Hello, Ian. Good afternoon. My name's Richard, and welcome back to my channel over and over and over again. Of course, what we're going to do today, this afternoon, it's a special show. I just thought I'd put together to look back at Mikel Arteta's first Premier League press conference of the season, of course, ahead of the big kickoff tomorrow night against Brentford. So quite an interesting press conference in many ways. Not a lot given away by Mikel Arteta, as you would kind of expect. Tends to be what he's like, isn't he? He's very much like a politician, isn't he? Anyway, we will get into it, the other side of this. So, I say Mikel Arteta's first press conference of the new season. Of course, one of the big topics for discussion, certainly at the beginning, was, of course, a transfer window. We all know that while we've done some business, it's nowhere near enough, is it, for what we need going into the big kickoff this weekend and, of course, the start of the new season. So Mikel Arteta basically said that he is reasonably happy with what we've done in what he called the first period of the transfer window. It's funny that he called it the first period of the transfer window when the season starts tomorrow. Surely most of the deals that you want to do, it's quite important to get them in before you play a game, isn't it? But anyway, I suppose that's the nature of it when it goes on until the end of August. And he said we've got stuff done that we wanted to do, obviously meaning the Ben White deal and the two kind of younger squad players that we brought in, Lokonga and Tavares. Yeah, I think all three of those have been decent signings, but it's nowhere near enough. I think we all understand that. He did say that there's still a window, and he did say in his words, "I'm sure things will happen either way." Very interesting what you make of that, really, isn't it? Things happening either way. Obviously, people going out of the club, I think, is going to happen. Definitely, I think we're aware of that. We'll come on to some of the players in a minute that he did mention. So I think people are definitely leaving. Is anybody else coming in? We will have to see. He was asked about how many more players he would like to sign. I think we'd all have a list of about 200, I suppose, that's been going around, you know, doing in the rumour mill, if you like. Now, what he did again was very, very political answer, really. He said, I'm willing to work with the players that I have at the moment and get the best out of them, which is, I mean, he hasn't got any choice, has he, to be fair. The players that we've got are the players that we've got, and he has got to work with them, hasn't he? So I guess what else could he say? Be nice, though, if he'd give us a little bit of an idea of the sort of players that he's looking at, the sort of positions that he's looking at to strengthen. Is it midfield? Is he looking at midfield players? Is he looking at a striker? Is he looking at a number 10, a goalkeeper? Just to say he's willing to work with the players that we've got tends to suggest to me that he's not happy maybe with the transfer situation. Maybe he's not happy with the fact that he knows he's not going to get the players that he needs. That was quite an interesting way to put it, maybe. But a little bit more information would have been nice for us, wouldn't it, really, to find out exactly what the plans are. He was then asked about what would represent a successful season for Arsenal. I mean, that's quite an interesting question. Whoever asked that, well, fair play to them, actually. That's a pretty good question. Most of the questions aren't particularly great, but that one was quite a good question. And basically, again, he kind of glossed over it a little bit, really. He said he just wants to kind of get the best consistently out of what he's got, essentially, which, of course, that's what we all want him to do. And that's what he's needed to do. He said that's what he wants from the team. He says, if we do that consistently in every single match, we're going to be in a good place. Well, I'm not really sure about that, because is our best good enough to be in a good place? I'm not sure if it is. I think we've seen that over the last 18 months or so, haven't we? And he said, it's something we must control and what we must do. And I think if we're able to do that, then results will be the consequence of that. So again, he's not really going to commit himself, is he? He's not going to say what his target is for the season. Again, I feel that that's a bit of a cop-out, really, isn't it? Why isn't he saying that, you know, my aim here is to finish in the top six or the top four or whatever it is, rather than just glossing over it and just saying he wants to get the best that he can out of the players on a consistent basis? Well, of course he does. Every manager does. Pep does at Man City, doesn't he? Tuchel does at Chelsea. They all want to get the best out of their players consistently. So that's not really giving us any information, is it? So once again, Mikel Arteta has just glossed over the point and glossed over the question, really. He's very similar to Boris Johnson, isn't he, in that respect. He was then asked whether he has particular league finishes aiming for trying to push the point, really, which is important. And all he basically said was, on Friday, we need to win against Brentford, and then we're in a strong position in the league. That's what we have to do, and the rest will come. Well, I'm sorry, Mikel, but that's not really good enough at this point. You know, you need to have some sort of aim for the season. And if you've got an aim, then surely you need to be telling us what that aim is. It's no good you saying, let's just concentrate on tomorrow's game. Yes, we need to focus on tomorrow's game. We need to try and get a good result in that game. But ultimately, it's the start of a season. Everybody's got hopes and expectations what the season is going to bring. You're a manager of Arsenal. We're a big club. And our aims and our ambitions of the club, you need to tell us what they are. Then that way, then we've got more able to judge you. You know, if you're just saying, well, I just want to finish higher than eighth this season, that's one, maybe lacking ambition, but two, at least it gives us an idea of where we are. And then if we don't finish as high as that in the league, then obviously you failed. Now, are you not prepared to say that because you don't want that extra pressure? I don't know. But this is Arsenal. You know, we are, as a football club, are not expected to be finishing eighth or ninth or tenth or somewhere like that in the league on a consistent basis, are we? The odd season here and there, of course, you know, transitions and stuff like that. We want to hear from you, Mikel, what your aim is for the season. What are you looking at? Because we, as fans, we want to see Arsenal doing the best that we can, competing to try to get back into Europe, right? To me, that should be the aim. So you should come out in these press conferences when you're asked, you should come out and say the aim is to get into Europe. Whether that's finishing in the top four or the top six, winning the FA Cup, whatever it is, that's got to be your aim. And you've got to say that. You've got to say what it is. It's no good hiding behind it. Well, let's just win on Friday. Yeah, let's win on Friday. But what happens after that? You know, what happens in the next five months? You know, we need to know what your ambitions are for this club. We know what ours are as fans. I say we want to see the club do the best that we can. We understand the limitations at the moment. We know where we are. We know the squad that we've got. We know the lack of funds that we've got. We've got to sell players to get players in, all that kind of stuff. We're prepared to accept that. And we're prepared to accept you saying the top six is the aim. You know, that's not overall where we want to be, but we understand it's a process. It's going to take time. And we can't go from being eighth two seasons running to suddenly expecting to challenge in the top four when we've not really improved the first team so far. Yes, as you said, there's still time. Let's see. But I want to see a little bit more from you as what your aims and ambitions are. You know, we want to know what you expect to achieve this season with what you've got. And yes, maybe at the minute there's still a few more deals to do. But even so, the aim should be quite clear in your mind what you want to achieve this season. It should be the club's ambition should be quite clear, because us as fans, our ambitions are quite clear. We want to improve on last season. We want to get back into Europe, and we want to win, or at least have a good go at the two cups as well, since we haven't got Europe this season. So these should be the ambitions. And I want to hear you say that, because to me, that's quite important as a manager of Arsenal to say, my ambition is to try and win us a trophy, to try and get us back into Europe. That's what we want to hear, not let's just win on Friday against a team that's been in the Championship for the last 50 years. You know what I mean? That's not acceptable. I'm sorry, Mikel, it isn't. He was then asked about Brentford, obviously, whether he thinks they'll be cautious. And he said, if you look historically at what they've done in the last few years, there's a very clear direction. I think from top to bottom of the club, they know what they want to do and they execute it really well. Unfortunately, we are not the same, are we? Brentford are a small club. We're a big club and they seem to have more direction and more ambition than what we do, which is quite worrying, isn't it? But you're totally right what you said there, Mikel. Don't get me wrong. I totally agree with you. But it just kind of goes to show, doesn't it, the difference in the ambition of the two clubs. And that's not right, is it? Because we should have a clear direction from top to bottom, and we clearly don't, do we? Whether that's a little dig at the club, maybe, I don't know. He certainly didn't seem very happy in his press conference, Mikel. I'll have to say that. And he said, I think they'll be a really tough opponent for every team in the Premier League. Yeah, again, I quite agree with that. I think they will be. It's a difficult start for us. I said it in my video yesterday, pretty much one of the toughest games we could have had away from home at a team newly promoted, their first ever match in the Premier League. They're on a roll from winning the playoffs. I just think it's going to be really tough. Russ is in the chat. Hey, Russ. Good to... I'll get me thumb up for you. There you go. Good to see you in the chat. And he says, watching me lunch. Oh, that's good. Enjoy your lunch as well. I've just had mine, actually. Thought I'd do this in the meantime. He was then asked what he liked about Brentford's style of play. He said the clarity in what they do. See, again, that almost feels like a dig at us, doesn't it, in a way, maybe, because we don't seem to have any clarity in anything that we do. He said they've been doing it for a long time together, and you can see they have fluidity and chemistry between them. and they believe that the plan they've put in place works for them. I think that's a big strength for any team. Maybe there he's trying to almost cover himself, isn't he? The kind of process that he believes he wants to bring up at Arsenal is going to take time. And he's almost saying, well, Brentford have been given that time. Their manager actually took over in 2018. So not a massive amount more time than what you've had, Mikel, to be fair. Another year or so, that's it. But anyway, we'll accept that. And it's almost like, you know, he's trying to say that that's the way forward. Give managers time to get their ideas in place, to get that chemistry within the squad, which is true. Let's be honest, it is true. But unfortunately, at the top level, you don't get that time because it's a results business. And certainly a club the size of Arsenal cannot afford to be sitting in mid-table a lot longer than we have done already. So, yes, for Brentford, it's worked because they're a small club. They've got their ambition was just to get into the Premier League, which they've achieved. And it's taken them, well, this manager, it's taken, what, three years nearly? Not even quite 3 years yet, is it, since he actually took over? So yeah, you're right. It is a big strength for the team to have that. But unfortunately, at the top level, at a big club, you're not going to get that time. You need to get results quite quickly. And you've had enough time already, I think, to have improved things. Russ says it's going to be a hard game and a hard watch, I think. Yeah, I agree. It is going to be a very hard game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I've said that when the fixtures came out, one of the toughest games we could potentially have got. Mark's in the chat there says, well, potential banana skin and the following five games also a minefield. Yeah, a lot of them are. We've got Chelsea, Man City and Tottenham, of course, in those next five games. Burnley away as well. Norwich at home, newly promoted team. You know, you've got to look at that and you start to worry, don't you, where all the points are coming from. But let's see. You know, if we start well, if we get a good result tomorrow, then maybe that's what we need and we can go on a get a bit of a roll going. We did finish last season well in terms of results, certainly. Dapper Guna in the chat as well, hey, mate, thanks for tuning in. He says, reality is we'll be lucky to finish top 10. I'm not sure about that. I think we look to be, you know, maybe as good or as bad as we were last season. He says, after watching PC, seems like we're not really actively looking for signings. But if he comes up, we might look at it. I honestly feel so deflated after that press conference. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I do. He didn't give too much away for me, did he? Arteta, and he doesn't tend to do that very much either. And Mark says, yeah, maybe why Arteta's being so cagey. Yeah, he was being very cagey, wasn't he? That's exactly how I've looked at it as well. He was almost being defensive at times, wasn't going to commit to anything. And I find that a little bit concerning, really. Yeah, you don't want him to come out and say, oh, yeah, we're going to challenge for this and we're going to challenge for that. He'll look stupid, won't he? But he did try to brush everything off and he wasn't really committing to anything, was he? Russ says there, with the squad as it is, sixth place at best. Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. I think sixth is going to be a struggle with this squad, if I'm honest. If we get two or three injuries at key to key players, I think we're going to really struggle. I really do. So we need to strengthen between now and the end of the transfer window. And, you know, we've got, what, three or four games to fit in before then, haven't we? And we could lose them all. Let's be honest. Look at the fixtures. And it wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility, would it? So, but let's see what happens. You know, let's not judge the squad until the end of August, I guess. See who's in and who's out at that point. And then we can maybe look at where we are as a squad and where we think we potentially could finish. But at the moment, I think six would be the very, very maximum that I think we can do with this current group of players. And let's hope that, I mean, that would be probably enough to get us into Europe again, which maybe would be a success. But I think all of us overall want more than that, don't we? It's quite frustrating to think that the best we can hope for is finishing sixth. I mean, that's not really what we want as Arsenal fans, is it? We're a bigger club than that, really. But it is where we are, I guess. And it's you know, nothing we can do about it, unfortunately. But let's see what the rest of the transfer window brings. I say the Mikel Arteta wasn't giving me any optimism that we're going to sign two or three good players between now and the end. We might get one in, maybe one out, but we'll see. He was then asked about Ivan Toney, of course, the danger man for Brentford, isn't he? Scored 31 goals in the Championship last season, which is a record for that division. And Mikel Arteta says he showed his quality. Every recruitment they've done in that position over the last few years has been pretty successful. Unlike ours, of course, we've got strikers now who don't seem to score very often. So that's something to look at as well, isn't it? And he did say there, I think it's also the system and how they work with the players. Again, quite interesting, putting it down to the system, which is true. So what that's telling you just to me is that the system that we're using, that Arteta's using, isn't getting the best out of our forward players, is it? So maybe that's what he's saying in a roundabout way, but why doesn't he see that himself and change the system? Trying to get the players to suit the system, which is never going to work, is it? Unless you've got real top quality, world-class players in every position that can adapt. When you've got players, you know, a lot of our forward players, they've got strengths and weaknesses, and to get the best out of them, we need to adapt the system for their strengths, and we haven't been doing that quite clearly. Aubameyang's been really, really poor under Arteta for a long time now. Lacazette works hard, and he does bring something to the team, but he doesn't score enough goals. Not just his fault, the chances aren't being created. So, you know, Pepe gave us hope at the end of last season, didn't he? But again, I don't feel as though the system is bringing the best out of him either. And Dapper Gunner again says, honestly think after 8 games, Arteta will be sacked. Hope I'm wrong, but this squad is average. No, the squad is average at best. I totally agree. And it lacks depth in certain important areas of the pitch. Whether he'll be sacked after 6 games, I'm not sure. 8 games, sorry. I'm not sure if he would. I guess if we had only won one of them or whatever, then maybe. I do feel as though the club are backing him in terms of not necessarily backing him in the transfer market, because I'm not sure if we've got the money to do what he wants. But I think they're going to back him. But yeah, if the first 8 games are really poor performances, poor results, then it's possible. I think that he'll probably last until a minimum of Christmas. And depending on how we're doing, if we're doing quite well, then obviously not a problem. But if we haven't turned things around by Christmas and we are in that bottom half of the league or somewhere around there, then I wouldn't be surprised if he went then. Mark C says he should have been a bit more bullish. Exactly, I agree. We've got a new season coming up. At least give us some hope that you believe things are going to improve, not kind of writing it off already. Tell us his aim was getting us back into the top 4. Yeah, or the top 6 even for now. Let's not push things too far. I think the top 4 is a little bit overly ambitious. But certainly the top 6. He said Mikel Arteta was too wishy-washy in the interview. Definitely was. If we fail to achieve it, okay, but at least show some ambition. Exactly, that's what we want. That's exactly what we want. As Arsenal fans, we want to see that the club's got similar ambitions to us. You know, yes, obviously we want us to see us win the league. We want to see us win all the big trophies. Of course we do. But you know, I think most of us are realistic enough to understand where we are. But yeah, at least show some ambition. At least show that what the aim this season has got to be top 6 or top 4. But at least tell us what that is. Because otherwise, it's like, if you don't want to commit to it, to me, you haven't got enough about you. You haven't got enough minerals about you to take this club forward. You've got to be careful and don't be stupid with what you say. But at least say, yeah, my ambition this season is to get us back into Europe. That should be what he should have said at that point. He had the opportunity to do it and he didn't. And once again, he's kind of not committing himself, is he, to anything? And that, to me, is not acceptable for a club like Arsenal. We want a direction. We want to know where the club are going. And at the moment, nobody knows. It's just it's just a complete whitewash, isn't it? That's certainly what it seems like. He was then asked about whether there's going to be some more business done in the transfer window. Obviously, he's not going to say yes or no, is he? Because it's a silly question to ask Mikel Arteta, because you know what he's going to say. He said, well, we identified what we wanted to do and how we can strengthen our team short, medium and long term, and what we needed to achieve that. Basically, what I think he's saying there is what we need to achieve most of that is to be able to get rid of some of these players, which we can't do. We define the profile of a player that suits the model that we have at the moment. That's quite interesting. At the moment, meaning that to me, at the moment, we've got to buy young players, young, maybe homegrown players mainly, to reduce the wage bill and to reduce the age of the squad, to reduce the numbers in the squad as well, because we're not in Europe. And he said that at the moment, for the club that can sustain our financial position, yeah, we know the financial position of the club, and we made 3 movements in relation to that. So yeah, what he's saying is, at the moment, we've the 3 signings that we've made fit in with the profile, younger players, obviously an English homegrown defender, important, and a couple of young players in squad positions that we needed. That shouldn't be enough. It's not enough, but anyway, he was then asked about whether we're close to signing a goalkeeper, and then again, a pointless question asking him, isn't it? Because he just gave a typical Mikel Arteta answer. I cannot tell you, I have no answers to that. Well, surely you must have some answers to that. You know, are you deciding on the fact that we need a second choice goalkeeper or a potential first choice to replace Leno? And if so, you must have identified somebody. The season starts tomorrow. There's 2 weeks left of the transfer window. Are you telling me that you have no answers to whether or not you're looking at a goalkeeper? At least tell us, yes, I'm looking to sign a goalkeeper. Fantastic. You don't have to tell us who it is necessarily. We understand that that's difficult when a goalkeeper's at another club, a player's at another club. Fair enough. But surely what you've got to do is you've got to tell us, yes, I am looking, we are looking for a goalkeeper. And that's fine. You don't have to name names. Just let us know what the plans are. Because at the moment, it's like, are we looking for a goalkeeper or not? Why wouldn't you commit to that? Why wouldn't you commit and say, yes, we are, or no, we're not, whichever. At least tell us. Again, just not giving anything away. I mean, what's such a secret? You know, it's not, you know, us as fans, we're invested in the club, you know, whether it's financially with tickets and stuff or emotionally or both. Now, we're invested in this club. Don't try and be all kind of secretive about it all. You know, it's our club as much as it's yours. And we should be given answers to these questions. You know, we're not asking you to give us all these, you know, wonderful answers. Just tell us yes or no. Are you looking for a goalkeeper? Yes. Okay, brilliant. If you want to tell us who that is, even better. But if you don't, that's fine. You don't have to tell us who it is, but at least tell us what your plans are. The season starts tomorrow, Mikel. Tomorrow night is our first game. And you're telling me you've got no answer to whether or not we're going to be signing a goalkeeper, when all we've got is Leno and Renarsson, who we clearly know we would be in massive trouble if he needs to play more than 3 or 4 games throughout the season. So it's just not, that is just not acceptable. I'm sorry, that is not an acceptable answer. He was then asked about a number of signings that would make him happy. Well, I don't suppose he's going to answer that either, is he? Let's see, shall we? He says, that's the team puts in place what we've been working on, and the spirit that we have and the energy that we've been training with and in games more consistently. Just waffle, essentially. Waffle, 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 Mikel. You're not answering the question. No, just give us a number. How many more signings would make you happy? 3 or 4, 2, 1, none? What? How many players would you be happy with us signing? You know, why are you allowed to waffle these answers without giving anything away? It's almost become to the point where doing a press conference with Mikel Arteta at the moment is pointless, because he isn't answering the questions. He's just not answering them at all. This is just waffle. I'm not even going to go through the rest of what he said, because it's waffle. He didn't answer the question. The question was the number of signings that he would be happy with, the number of more new signings now he'd be happy with. He didn't give us an answer. We don't know. Is he happy not to sign anybody? Or does he want 5 new players between now and the end of August? We just don't know, do we? We're no better off with that at all. Absolutely ridiculous. He was then asked about Joe Willock. Well, let's see what he says about Joe Willock, shall we? Obviously, Joe Willock's a player that he can decide whether he wants to keep or whether he wants to move on. I know it's just not as simple as that, but at least we'll get an idea of what Mikel's plans are with Joe Willock. Let's see what he said to that. He said, the situation is that he's our player and we've held some conversations, because it's not only about what we want to do, it's in the player's interests and the role that a player can field in a squad and in a club. A little bit waffly again, but we kind of get the idea. Yes, the player and the other club have got to agree what his role is. It's got to be best for him. Totally agree with that, actually. Yeah, that's fair enough. And what he's done is put himself in a really strong position where he can choose a little bit with more options of what his future could look like. And this is what we're trying to define right now. So basically, it looks as though what he's saying is Joe Willock's done well at Newcastle. Newcastle want him. He can probably push his career on more at Newcastle than he can at Arsenal. It's just sorting the details out. I don't know why he didn't just say, yes, we're in negotiations with Newcastle. We're trying to get this deal done. That's a better answer for me. Tells us what we need to know rather than the waffle that he tends to come out with. He was then asked whether Joe Willock will be here in September. And again, he says he doesn't know. Do you not know? Surely you must know roughly how that's going when the transfer window's only got a couple of weeks to go. He says, in football, I'm not going to do that, because if not, you'll come to me with a quote that you said at the end of last season. So I prefer not to answer. So again, he's completely deflecting the questions, isn't he? Yes, that's maybe a little bit more tricky, because a lot of things go into a transfer, both in and out. And it's not like Mikel Arteta, he's definitely not going to be here, or he definitely will. But at least give us a little bit more of an insight into how far down the line this deal is. You know, we've been hearing a lot of things, certainly from Newcastle, that they've almost signed him. We've been hearing that, you know, personal terms have been agreed, all that kind of stuff. So just let us know, is this likely to be happening or not? You know, it's quite simple, really. You don't have to make it more complicated. But a bit like on the pitch, these press conferences, you make the questions more complicated than they need to be, just as you do with the tactics on the pitch. And he was then asked on whether now is his time to deliver. Again, talking about Joe Willock, and Mikel said it always is. I think the demands of this football club are so high and the expectations are high. Well, they seem to be from our point of view. They don't seem to be particularly from your end, do they? Because you're not really telling us how high they are, because you're not telling us what your ambitions are you? Whether they are to the level and quality and the capability that we have is a different matter. We have to cope with that. Again, a bit waffly for me. But anyway, Joe's in the chat. Doing Joe, thanks for tuning in. Always good to see you in the chat. He was then asked about Aubameyang. How's Aubameyang feeling ahead of the season? This is quite an interesting question again. But once again, I suppose it's going to be a waffly answer. Let's see. He said, since he came back, he looked in the right mindset. He's looked in the right mindset. Have you not been watching the friendlies, Mikel? What right mindset do you think he's looked at in any of those friendlies that he's played? He's looked disinterested. He looks like he doesn't care. And he looks like he doesn't want to be here. So I don't know what right mindset you've seen. If it's in training, fair enough. We haven't seen it in the games. So I'm not sure where you've got that from. He said he's trying to put last season, which was difficult for everyone, and not just for him, for many different reasons, and go back to the level that he can achieve. Well, of course, I'm sure he does. It doesn't look as though he's particularly fussed in the friendlies, but I'm sure deep down he wants to get his form back. We all want him to get his form back because he's an important player on his day, isn't he, when he plays well. And then he says, because he knows and we know that with his level, this team can achieve much better things. Of course he can. If Aubameyang's playing well, scoring goals, then, of course, we've got more chance of winning games and doing better, aren't we? So that's pretty obvious. To me, again, he's not really answered the question, has he? Maybe the question wasn't asked in the right way. I would have maybe asked him, what are your thoughts on the way Aubameyang's body language has been in these friendlies, bearing in mind how he played last season? Maybe we might have got a better answer, but Mikel Arteta would probably have just brushed that off anyway. But anyway, you know, it is what it is. Of course, we want a better Aubameyang this season. We want the Aubameyang that we had maybe 18 months ago. He was scoring goals every game, looking a threat every single time he played. And we want to get that Aubameyang back. I'm sure we all do. But from what we've seen at the end of last season and into pre-season, that looks a long way off, doesn't it? And at his age now, is he ever going to recapture that again? I don't know. It is an issue and it needs to be looked at. Joe says there, it looks like Uber don't care. It does. That's the impression that I've got in pre-season. Yes, it's difficult when you're not playing well. You're not scoring goals as a striker and it's easy for your head to go down. But he's captain of his club. He's got to rise above that. He's got to put the needs of his teammates and the club ahead of his own personal frustrations, I think. And he's not able to do that. If he's not able to do that, he shouldn't be captain. And that's maybe a separate issue as well. But let's hope that between now and you know, the next two or three months, that Aubameyang can get some form back. He can start scoring more goals. And as Mikel Arteta rightly says, yeah, we'll achieve a lot more as a team if Aubameyang is scoring goals and playing well. And let's hope that somehow Mikel can get a little bit more out of Aubameyang now, because I think it's important that he does. Next, he was asked on whether the transfer window has been underwhelming. He says he's been really busy. Yeah, I'm sure he has been busy. Nothing's come to fruition from that, though. And you just named a few names that tells me... It tells you as well how much we've had to do from the position that we started the window. Okay. We're talking about probably the most difficult transfer market in this industry over the last years, for sure. And we are trying to adapt. No, that's fair enough. I think we all understand that it's not the easiest transfer window, is it? With the lockdown last season, no fans for a whole season virtually, and the financial situation at a lot of clubs. Yes, there are some exceptions, as we know, Man City and PSG, for example, but it is a difficult transfer market. I think we as fans can accept that it's a difficult transfer market. But ultimately, you look at other clubs are doing bits more business than we are. And that's frustrating, isn't it? He said, the club, the owners and myself, we all have the same interests. Do we? Well, they don't seem to be the same interests as the fans, because you didn't include them in it, did you? Quite significant. Which is to make this team much stronger. And we know that we still have things to do to get what we want. At least he was a little bit honest there, wasn't he? He said that we still have things to do. And he's right, of course we do. We know that we've got a lot of things to do if we're going to get to achieve what we want to achieve. So at least he was honest finally. So well played for that answer, Mikel. Finally, good to see a little bit of honesty there. I'm not sure that the owners have the same ambition, certainly as the fans do. If they've got the same ambitions as you, then maybe you're not the right man either then, because the owner's ambitions don't seem to be at all to take this club forward, do they? But anyway, I guess they're telling you one thing and acting in a completely different way by the sound of it then. But either way, at least you were, at least we got some honesty out of you finally, which is good to hear. And he was then asked if he still has the time to achieve that, you know, to make us stronger. He says it is, but things take time and there are all the different parties and different interests there to get deals. And yeah, we know that transfers aren't easy. It's not just a matter of going to, here's some money, we have your player. It doesn't work like that. We all know that. So that's fair enough. He said, for sure, we're trying to do what we can. And it's important as is to make sure that the squad is healthy and we have the stability within that squad. Yeah, again, that's true. That's fair enough. And I think we'll all agree with that. And he said that's something we certainly missed last year after December. So that is important as well. No, you're right. It is important to keep the players fit, but ultimately you do need cover in most positions to cover for things like that, because injuries happen in football, as we know. So he was then asked if players need to leave before new arrivals can come in. And again, he was honest a little bit and said, money is tight for every club at the moment. We have an ownership that is willing to invest in the team. Is he, have we, maybe, maybe not. And they want to get the team better and with bigger aims. And we're trying to find the balance, because at the same time, we need to be really careful, because we need 100% a position that is sustainable and will help the club. Yes, of course, we know that. We all know that. We're not going to go out and spend £100 million on a player like Jack Grealish and two or three players of that kind of caliber. We're not going to be able to do that. We know that. And it is about sustainability. And I'm glad that the club are doing that, actually. You know, yes, it would be nice sometimes. You look at Man City and Chelsea and clubs and, you know, they've got a Leicester, they've got owners who just go out and buy the players that they want, but which is fair enough. But maybe that isn't sustainable in the long term, is it? And maybe the way that we've always done our transfer business has been the best way, maybe. You know, it's difficult. It is a difficult one, isn't it? I suppose it's easy to be more philosophical about it when you've maybe got a stronger squad to start with and you're in a stronger place. When you've got to play catch up, it's not really, you know, the sustainability model isn't going to work necessarily, is it, when we're playing catch up with clubs that are able to spend and willing to spend a lot more money to improve their squad. So it's a tough one, isn't it? And I do feel a little bit sorry for Mikel Arteta in that respect, I've got to be honest, because, you know, he can only really buy the quality of players that we can afford. And at the moment, generally, that's probably not always what we need, because of how far we've dropped down to get back to where we want to be. It takes investment, unfortunately, and the club model isn't to do that. So we need to accept that. We then moved on to Ben White, of course, our new big new signing, possibly the only big signing we're going to make, but we'll see. He's asked how good Ben White is. Mikel said I'm very excited. We all are. I think we can agree with that. He's a player that we have looked at for a long time. He fitted the profile of exactly what we wanted, and he's settling in really well. Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I think we all knew that anyway. Young English player. He's got all the attributes that we needed in that position with David Luiz going. He's a younger, hopefully better version of David Luiz as well to come in. So I think we're all pretty happy with that deal, and I think we're all quite excited about how Ben White's going to work. He needs more around him, but you can only go off that. And so far, I'm delighted with what Ben White's doing. Let's hope that he starts the season well and he can have a really good impact for us. I'm sure he will. He was then asked about Thomas Frank, of course, the Brentford manager. And Mikel said there are always different ways to get into management. Of course, obviously, Frank's done a completely different route. He wasn't even a top-level professional footballer, was he? I think what he's done is remarkable. I will share with you the opinion that they are a very exciting team, and the way they have come up after a few disappointments in the last few seasons on the last day and the way they have reacted, it tells you a lot about them. And what Thomas has done there is fantastic. Yeah, he's right. I totally agree. He's done a great job there, hasn't he, Thomas Frank at Brentford? And it does go to show, doesn't it, that you don't have to be a top player to become a good manager. And sometimes when we look at managers, you know, it's like, you know, Patrick Vieira, who's just gone to Crystal Palace, great player. Doesn't automatically mean he's going to be a great manager. Let's hope he is, because, you know, I'd like him to do well. And who knows, if he does, he may well come back to us as manager. But maybe sometimes you can look at alternatives. They don't have to have been great players, do they? And I think Thomas Frank is another example of that. Of course, Arsene Wenger wasn't a top player, was he? Let's not forget. You know, Jose Mourinho as well. So there's precedents out there, isn't there? And, you know, fair play to Brentford, fair play to Thomas Frank. He's done a great job. And it's good that he's getting recognised as well. He was then asked about the transfer activity, you know, people like Lionel Messi and Jack Grealish, of course, big money. I know Lionel Messi is a free transfer, but a big, obviously, wage contract. And Mikko said it's certainly really good for the entertainment. Not sure it is good for the entertainment, is it, when, you know, it means that the stronger teams have got even stronger and makes it less entertaining for everybody else. But anyway, he says you want to see those teams play with the quality of those players. See, now Mikel there is talking like a football fan, not the manager of Arsenal. I don't care if Man City buy all the best players that we want to see play in the Premier League, because if they're all at Man City, one, it makes our league a bit more of a joke because they're going to win every single game, and it means our chances get even less. So I'm not quite sure where you're going with that there, Mikel, to be fair. You know, you might well enjoy seeing those players play, as I'm sure we all do, but not when it's at the detriment of our club and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think you need to be a bit careful there. He did say that it's something that is probably unprecedented in the days of PSG. Probably this is what they are. They can afford it and they will enjoy it. So, yeah, of course. I mean, they will. It makes the French League even more of a joke, doesn't it? But anyway, you know, I don't care. If Lionel Messi had gone to Manchester City, for example, I wouldn't have been excited that he'd gone to Man City. I would have thought, well, that's the last thing we need, because it just means that Man City, instead of winning the league by 15 points, they win it by 25 points or 30 points, which makes the league a joke to me. I don't want to see that. You know, you want to see the best players, yeah, but you want to see them maybe more evenly spread around, which is what used to happen, didn't it? Maybe in the 1990s, there were some great players, great foreign players come over, and they were spread equally amongst the top four or five teams, and it made the league a lot better, more competitive. So that's what I want to see. I don't want to see them all going to the same team. PSG and Man City now, it's the Harlem Globetrotters. It's a joke. But anyway, I'm pleased that Mikel's happy to that those players are playing for different clubs than ours. He said, "I'm supporter concerns at our transfer activity compared to our traditional rivals." Yeah, that's an interesting question, interesting point. He said, absolutely. Fans need to be excited and they need to see a team that is capable of competing with those teams, because our history is related to that. I'm glad you finally recognise that, Mikel. Brilliant. Because you're right. We have got a great history. And us as fans respect that history. And yes, we know that teams go through good and bad periods. We understand that. But our history suggests that we should be trying at least to compete with our traditional rival, shouldn't we? Whether that's in the transfer market and also on the pitch. And that's what we want to see. That's what we expect from Arsenal, isn't it? That's not, you know, it's not because we're entitled or being entitled or anything like that. It's just literally what we, you know, what we as a club with our history and our standing in the game, that's what we do expect that. He said, nobody can deny that. That is the aim and that should be the objective. But it's good that you're saying it should be the objective. You've not actually said it is the objective and you've not said that is what you want to achieve, but we can maybe let that ride. At least you're understanding that Arsenal do need to be in a much better position than we have been. And then he was then asked on, is it frustrating going into the new season with uncertainty around transfers? I mean, this comes down to the transfer window, the whole transfer window situation, doesn't it? The transfer window should shut before the season starts. Always that should be the case. You've got a summer between May and August, when the season starts, when there's no games to play. So you've got plenty of time to get transfers done. Yes, players go on holiday, there's tournaments and all that other stuff. We know that. But even so, you've got enough time to sort transfers before the season starts. The transfer window should end tonight, or it should have ended this week before the season started. So there's always this, every year, as I say, you always get this frustration because the season starts and the transfer window is still open. And that is not the best situation, is it? It isn't. It needs to be looked at. It needs to be changed. And that will stop that frustration. But anyway, let's see what Mikel said. It's more important what he said than what I said. He said it is how others develop. It is something at this time that is not possible to do on August the 12th, but is possible to do on the last day. So, yeah, again, understand that. Whether you are happy bringing the player in or not is more important. With Thomas Partey, we managed to do it at the end of the window, but the difficulty with him is how long he has been injured and only been able to participate because of the impact he would have had on the team. That is a disappointing thing. Yeah, obviously, injuries are part of the game. It is frustrating when we're starting the season with maybe only half our transfer activity done. Let's hope it's only half. It might be all of it. But so that is frustrating, yeah. And it is something that we need to look at. But, yeah, I know it's not easy to get deals done. And sometimes clubs that are selling are more willing to sell on the last day because they've got no choice. Maybe they're backed into a corner a little bit. And that's maybe a time you can get a better deal done. I don't know. It's not always easy. And I do understand that. I think we all understand that. But it's frustrating that the transfer window is still open when the season's already started. That's the frustrating thing. And that could be changed. You know, the people that run the game, FIFA, whoever it is, UEFA, the Premier League, well, it's not really worth just the Premier League doing it. It'd have to be throughout Europe, wouldn't it? So UEFA would probably have to decide. But that could be solved by UEFA doing that, ending the transfer window maybe first week in August, second week in August. And that would be a better solution, perhaps. But anyway, that's a different story. But, you know, at least Arteta understands the frustration. He was then asked on if he expects to be busy right up to the deadline. Let's hope he is. I'm hoping he's really, really busy. I'm hoping he hardly gets any sleep. He says anything is possible and there is still a lot of things to be done and a lot of clubs involved. And you can see that things have started to move at a different speed in the last week or so. Not for us, they haven't. It's been a really difficult transfer window and probably a lot of things will happen in the last week or so. Yeah, of course, it's easy to say that now. Let's hope you're right. And let's hope things do happen in the last week or so for us. But yes, it has been difficult. And I know it's a difficult time. And I think we all do. But other deals have been done already, haven't they? Big deals have been done elsewhere and players have moved about. And we still seem to be dragging our heels, as is usually the case, isn't it? So, but yeah, we have still got a couple of weeks. So let's hope that you are busy, Mikel, really busy over the next couple of weeks. And we get some good movements in and out, which is what we need. He was then asked again, I don't know why he was asked, it's quite annoying, on Emi Martinez and the goalkeeping position. Emi Martinez is irrelevant, really. That was a year ago. It's done. You know, he's not an Arsenal player. Why are we still talking about him? So Mikel said, again, what happened with Emi? It's different parties involved in that decision. I guess different people doing the negotiations at the club. He said, you have to make a decision based not on what we want, as well as a player's objectives and the history of the player, that he was here for 10 years. It was just, you know, I don't even know why Martinez has been brought up. He says, sometimes it's financial, sometimes a player doesn't become available and you have to adapt. I wish that all the time it was always the way you plan it or you want it. Yeah, of course, we all do, but that's not reality, is it? So a bit pointless asking about Emi Martinez for me. We've already talked about the goalkeeping situation. He didn't say whether he wanted a new goalkeeper, did we? So a bit pointless, really. But anyway, it was then asked if he had to pick one position to fill before deadline day. You can imagine what his answer is going to be. Whether it would be the goalkeeper was what the question was. He said, no, it would not be the goalkeeping position. Obviously, there are other priorities, which is slightly worrying because we've only really got one first-choice goalkeeper. He said, he's trying to do what we have to do, and it's not about the player or the position. It's about where the squad should be finishing. That's what I would pick for the squad that we're going to have at the end of this transfer window. That is what I will be doing. So it looks like he's looking at the squad, but surely you've got to look at the positions, haven't you? Which positions in that squad do you need to strengthen? Do we need to strengthen to improve? Quite a simple question. I believe we do need a backup goalkeeper. I think the midfield area is massively important. We do need a backup number 10. We've only really got Smith Rowe. We're a little bit short on the left-hand side at the moment with Saka and Martinelli not available to play lots of start games. I know that's going to change soon, so maybe that's not a priority, but certainly a good right-back looks a priority. Goalkeeper backup, I'd say, number 10, and someone in midfield to maybe push Elneny out a little bit. But I want Arteta to say this. I want Arteta to tell us what he's looking at, what positions he thinks we need to strengthen. We know, or we've got our ideas as fans. We just need the manager to tell us what he's looking at. He says it was then asked on players departing in the window. He says, I think everything is related to who we bring in, who is out, our capacity to hold foreign players in the squad. There are a lot of question marks still to be resolved. It's still pretty open. I mean, he's right there, isn't he? You've got the homegrown roster and all this kind of stuff. How many foreign players we can keep, how many we need to get rid of, and that will be related to who we bring in. So all that's, yes, there are still a lot of uncertainties around it all. And let's hope that something can be sorted. So that was basically Mikel's press conference there today. As we said, he didn't give too much away, did he? Very cagey, playing things quite close to his chest. A little bit concerning that for me, some of the answers that he gave. His lack of ambition, or certainly his lack of telling us what the ambition is. Again, a little bit worrying. I think we all just want to know, get some sort of clarity, really, don't we? Where the club expect to be heading this season? Because at the moment, it's like, would they be happy with another mid-table finish? Are we expected to finish top six and get in Europe? Are we expected to change for the top four? What are the expectations at the club? What is the expectations on Mikel Arteta? He wasn't going to tell us, and maybe someone else needs to come out of the club and tell us, because I think it's really important that we know, because then we can set our own ambitions, can't we? At the moment, I think some Arsenal fans think we should be challenging for the top four. Some think we're going to struggle in mid-table. And I think it's important that if the club come out and say, this is what the ambitions are, then we're all on the same page. And we can all say either, yes, we're going about achieving that, or we're underachieving that and we need to improve. Otherwise, you get a lot of conflict in fans because everybody's got their own ideas. For me, the top six should be the minimum, getting back into Europe. That's what I want to see us do. I don't expect any more than that, if I'm honest. If we were to challenge for the top four, that would be a massive overachievement. As things stand, we'll see what the rest of the window brings. But I just want to see some ambition from the club, and just to see exactly what their plans are, really. But anyway, we're not going to get that certainly now, are we? Let's wait and see what the next couple of weeks brings in the transfer market. But of course, before all that, we've got a big game tomorrow, haven't we, to kick off. We're opening the Premier League season again, as we did last season. Again, we're away at a London team that had just been promoted. This is a completely different situation. Last season, we came into that on a high, having won the FA Cup, having won the Community Shield as well. And we came into that, I say, on a high, and won that game comfortably against a Fulham team that ended up getting relegated and were quite weak anyway. Brentford are a different proposition. They're a good side. They play good football. And I think they're going to surprise a few people this season. It's a tough, tough, tough first game, isn't it? So we need to look forward to that tomorrow night. It's going to be certainly an interesting night, isn't it? A stressful night probably for us. But let's hope we can at least put in a decent performance and get a result. Because I feel if we start the season with a win, it can change everybody's mindset completely. And then we can at least go into those next two games, the two difficult games, Chelsea and Man City, with a little bit more confidence. And that may be the difference between picking up points in those two games or losing them both. So tomorrow night's really important, isn't it? Also, to give us an idea of exactly where we currently are at the moment. Pre-season wasn't great, but as people keep saying, it's only pre-season, it doesn't matter. I personally think it does, because I wanted to use pre-season as a judge, really, of where we're going. And if that's the case, then I wasn't particularly excited about it. But anyway, that's over and done with. The season starts tomorrow. That's what matters. Let's start the season well. I wasn't overly impressed with a lot of Mikel Arteta's answers today, if I'm honest. Not at all. Not for the first time. But let's hope that he does the answers on the pitch starting tomorrow night. That's what we need to focus on now. Let's hope Aubameyang turns up with a good performance. A goal or two would be nice. Kick off his season in good style. I want to see, obviously, Ben White making his debut in the Premier League for us. Let's hope that he plays well as well. I just want to see us compete in that game and show us that maybe we've got something to be excited about this season. And when I say excited, for me, that would be playing football that we can enjoy watching, which wasn't always the case last season. Obviously, winning a lot more games, or losing a lot less games, I would say. We lost too many games last season, especially at home. We need to put that right. But let's hopefully tomorrow can give us an idea of where we're going and how that's going to work. And let's hope that that tomorrow night goes well. We got off to a good start. So that's that then. And just a little look back at Mikel Arteta's press conference from today ahead of the game tomorrow. Thanks to all you guys for watching in, you guys in the chat as well. Obviously, Joe and Mark, Dapper Guna as well. Russ, good to see you all in the chat. Derek as well at the beginning there. Not really impressed with it, which I can understand. Fair enough. So, yeah, thanks all you guys for watching. Really appreciate that. Coming up on the channel, I will be doing a watch-along tomorrow night, of course, of the game. Going live about 7:45 for the 8 o'clock kickoff with the team news and stuff like that before the game starts. So that's going to be something to look forward to tomorrow night, say 7:45. And then over the weekend, I'm thinking about doing the fan cam show again, maybe on Saturday, getting some of you guys to come on, give your thoughts on the performance, maybe get 3 or 4 people on. I might do that on Saturday. I'll have a think about it, see who wants to come on. So stay tuned and listen out for that as well. And then, of course, I will as well be doing a full review of the game as well at some point over the weekend. I might not release that till Monday and give us something to do then. And then, of course, the Tuesday club next week, I'll get the panel on again to go through that game and look ahead, of course, to the big game next week as well against Chelsea. Yeah, only one game a week is going to be a bit strange, isn't it? And we've also got as well, just a final bit of notice, news, sorry, if you missed it yesterday, we've drawn West Bromwich Albion away in the Carabao Cup second round. First time we've played in the second round since 1995. Not been in Europe, that is, of course. So we're playing West Bromwich Albion away. I think that's at the end of August, that game. That could be, it's an extra game to play. Let's hope we play well. Interesting to see what lineup Mikel Arteta picks for that, actually. I think it's a big competition for us this season. You know, we need to try and go as far as we can in that. Let's hope that he plays a strong team, actually. That would be really good, wouldn't it? So, but anyway, that's all for the future. For now, I say thanks for watching and thanks for your support of the channel. If you haven't done so, please subscribe if you like what I do, and give this video a like as well if you've enjoyed it. And I say stay tuned for the watch along tomorrow at 7:45. And, of course, let's hope we start the season well. So I'll see you tomorrow. Come on, you Gunners. Come on, let's get the season going. What?